Welcome to Bankers Africa, where we delve deeper into the borderless world of the new frontier. In case you've forgotten, this is Ms. Purple, and I will be your inquisitive guide on this ever-evolving journey. With over 700,000 professional software developers hailing from Africa, as of 2022, 18,000 of those are from Ghana. Just for a bit of juxtaposition, the US has over 23,000 blockchain-focused open-source software developers as of 2022. Now, keeping in mind the fact that over 370 million Africans are classed as unbanked and that some venture firms are preparing to launch funds that could support over 100 African blockchain startups over the next 4 years to the tune of up to $50 million, we need more developers, now more than ever. If you haven't already, please do subscribe whether you're listening via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or any other platform. If at any point you enjoy anything that we mention through this podcast, please be sure to mention it, leave us a comment or a review so we can continue to bring you the kind of content that you want to see and hear moving forward. We will, of course, include all the links that we allude to during this episode in the show notes, so be sure to check those out as well. Now, on today's episode, I have a guest who is no stranger to Bankless Africa, nor to the ETH events that continue to happen around the world. Abena is a SheFi educator, Bankless Africa contributor, ETH Global finalist, and the co-founder of ETH Accra, just to name a few. She has spoken at ETH Belgrade, ETH Prague, and ETHCC in Paris as well. Abena is one of the most inspiring Black people or Black women within the crypto and blockchain community that I have personally come across. So I do hope that this conversation can enlighten you into the kind of work that she does, but also specifically on ETH Accra, which is a convergence of developers, researchers, and builders within the Gold Coast region. Hi, Abena. How are you today?
Hi, Miss Purple. Thank you so much for the lovely introduction. I'm very excited and honored to be at your podcast.
I'm really, really excited to have you here. I know that we have worked together before, mainly with your writing, because you do quite a lot of writing. And I had the honor of editing one or two of your written pieces. So it's very exciting to be able to speak to you today and hear from you exactly what it is that you do. So to start off, we're going to get a bit of history on you because I don't actually know that much. So how did you get into blockchain and CS as a career? Essentially a summary of your bio, if you will.
Basically started like 2 years ago. It was summer 2021 where I decided to during my second master in computer science, I took up a summer school at the University of Zurich. It was called Deep Dive into Blockchain. It was like 3 weeks immersive summer school. Then after that, I really fell down the crypto rabbit hole. I attended several global hackathons online as well as in person, and I just threw myself into the ocean of crypto, blockchain, etc. And I think my intrinsic curiosity led to one to the other, where I decided, okay, let me dive into it. And by currently, I'm doing my own research. I teach as well, educator, and I'm also love doing community building.
I think the part about you teaching is phenomenally inspiring. Maybe I should get some lessons from you at some point, you know, because I feel like maybe there's a lot more you can share. I think there's a lot more a person is able to share when they're in that position of a teacher or a guide, you know, versus just simply a conversation. It always helps to see someone in their roles and exactly what it is that they do because then they're most comfortable. So can you tell us a bit about ETH Global? Are you able to share what project puts you on the list of the finalists for that?
I'm happy to teach you. Definitely, I have my own blockchain and brunch event here in Zurich, where I teach blockchain basic to women. But I'm also thinking of expanding this. Next time when I come to Ghana, then I will definitely host another blockchain brunch dedicated to women because teaching is one of my core pillars. I think it's important to create an environment where people feel comfortable to learn a new topic, especially a complex one. And it's not about that it's people are not smart enough. It's more about conveying an environment where people feel comfortable to learn and also apply this new technology because the potential is immense. And I think it's up to us to convey an environment where people feel comfortable. To your question, yes, I'm an avid hackathon enthusiast lover, I would say. I enjoy participating. I think many of you have come across some of my engagement. One of the reasons I think hackathon is a great playing field is reading articles or reading papers is one aspect, but I also love to play around coming up with a prototype MVP. How does it actually look like one of the features or tools of the protocols which are currently out there? And hackathon is a great way to network with people, learn with them, and just have an overall good experience. And my team and I, we were finalists in Bogota, a team that I just met at the venue, basically, and we formed a team, and we created a platform for uncollateralized lending protocol using Polygon ID as a way of verifying that you meet the credit score, which gives especially people for underrepresented groups access to financial resources. And I think it's something that we have experienced. It's not there yet. We're still working on it to flesh out a first version. And yeah, I think it's a great use case that we can definitely use it not only in Ghana, but all like in other areas of the world. And I have to say, if Global is done setting the bar very high, creating an environment for builders, creators to feel comfortable to come together and create amazing projects.
Now, for those of us who couldn't make it to the events that you spoke at, what does it feel like to be surrounded by so many curious minds and inventive people all in one place with the same idea of trying to move as much as they can into the journey of being bankless?
It's a great experience. At the beginning of my journey, when I started attending hackathons, like it was beginning of 2022, I was very newbie. I mean, I have a research background, so coding is new. I would describe myself a junior dev, like 2 years coding experience. And I was a little bit intimidated in the sense of, oh, is there space for me? It's like, I'm new to the environment, especially as a woman. But, you know, people are so helpful. People are very welcoming. I felt like, you know, when you graduate from high school, when you meet people later on, it's like, it's a sense of, you feel home, you feel appreciated and uplifted. And that's the feeling I had throughout my whole hackathon experience attending ETH Global ones. It feels something that I have grown personally from each hackathon experience. That's an experience that I took along with me. And it's like you see familiar faces, you learn, you have the opportunity to improve. And people are really, really welcoming and very helpful. Even anybody that I met so far, like you forget your adapter or you forget you like one project, I think my laptop crashed, so I wasn't able to edit my video. Someone helped me editing the video before submitting the project. So people are really, really genuine and supportive. Yeah, that's what I can say and recommend, that if you have the opportunity, attend in-person hackathon, if not, as well as online hackathon, also organized by ETH Global is a great way to get into the ecosystem.
I absolutely love that. And I have seen that there are quite a few virtual hackathons that continue to happen, which is very exciting because they truly understand that, you know, not all of us have the financial means to be able to make it to all these places all at once, because there's always so many all in one go. And they'll be in like different parts of the world, and it's just not possible for everyone to make it. So if you are a developer and you're perhaps looking into attending a hackathon, just look up the ones that are virtual. There are a ton of them, and we cannot allow your skill set to go unseen. Now, I'm curious to know, from your personal opinion, how much do Africa's problems really depend on African developers? That is, can we count on the band of global developers that are already existing to create solutions that are truly global and solve for the issues that we have here on the continent? Or does it absolutely have to be in the hands of African or Africa-based developers to solve for those issues?
That's a very good question. I personally think that African developers, or like Africa is very broad, very huge, but like I'm mainly focused like on West Africa, Ghana in particular. I think people based in Ghana or Nigeria, I think we know best what is needed to address solutions or problems that is prevalent in Ghana, in Nigeria and West Africa in general. That's why I think it's best created or formed, not solely, but at least to the great amount by people who are basically affected and also living there. Because even though I've been in Colombia and I've also been in Lisbon, but I don't really know the inside nitty gritty details of this ecosystem. And it's also a different languages. So that's why I think it's really important that if you create a solution, then make sure that people who are participating, creating solutions, are people actually who are living there, who knows the insights. I don't think it needs to only be African, but Africa needs to be involved.
I think it does. I think it does. Because, you know, I know that some people just tend to say that sometimes you can have a global solution that is intended for something else but ends up solving the other problem. But I think at this point we're kind of done with being just kind of added on, you know, being an add-on versus being the core of the solution. So I think sometimes it's very, very important for us to be intentional about finding the solutions to the problems that we have versus simply waiting that that thing that solves the one thing will just so happen to solve our problem as well, because there's no guarantee that it will solve the thing that we need in exactly the way that we need it solved. So, yeah. Now, back to you, Avena. What sparked the idea for Ithaca? Where did that come from? Did it come from you being able to attend all these other events and feeling like maybe the Gold Coast needed one, or was there more to it?
Last year, we did together with Ithaca Africa a conference where I met you. No, I think we met each other in February. Yes, in November, we did a conference. And then we were like, hey, why not doing like a hackathon? Why not Ithaca? You know, it's like, if people are not able to go to places, then they bring Ethereum to Ghana. So that's where basically the idea came from. And I think at the time, it's just right. Accra that we've hosted the first in-person hackathon in West Africa. Yes, we're really excited. It's a huge task, a challenge. But I think we need to start now to get somewhere, and also to paving the path for a new generation of developers coming from West Africa. We need to nourish this playground. We need to nourish the Ethereum builder community. And I'm really excited to be part of it. And to shape this new movement.
I'm so excited for it. I remember when I came across it, I thought, oh, this is exactly what we need. Because, you know, like I've mentioned, I think I have alluded to this a bit earlier, but maybe for those who aren't aware, there aren't a lot of ETH events across the continent in general. ETH Safari was touted as the greatest event in Africa last year, which saw, I believe, over 1,500 people in Nairobi and Kilifi for the hackathon, panel discussions and debates about the ETH space. But now ETH Accra is able to join that very short list of ETH events, ETH recognized events that happen in Africa. And on that list is included, we also have Lagos ETH Meetup and Cape Town ETH Meetup that I know of. I'm sure there are other smaller ones as well that are maybe not as big as ETH Accra is planning to be or as the other events are, but it is always very exciting to see, you know, like minds come together to kind of share knowledge, but also to connect. Because it's always great to see the person that you've been talking to on Discord or Telegram in real life, because that puts a true face and a true human behind the username that you've been interacting with. Now, can you run us through what the event is expected to be like? Is it strictly for those participating in the hackathon, or will there be panels? Will there be demos? Are there exhibition stalls? Tell us more about the event itself.
Thank you. ETH Accra is basically an in-person hackathon lasting 3 days at the University of Legon in Accra, Ghana. It's a builder-focused event. What does it mean? It's not like a conference where you have a lot of panels and talks, but those talks that we have is technical workshops focused like 30 minutes where protocols can showcase on how to build on the protocol. And then on the final day, before announcing the winners of the hackathon, then we have like a keynote panel where industry stakeholders can talk about like a future of, for example, how the graph is going to be in the future. And other sponsors also have a minute to showcase the future roadmap of their protocols. But I just want to mention it's not really a conference. It's more technical, builder-focused event. And we will have you'll have workshops before the hackathon starts where other protocols can do like a one-day full stack workshop, etc. And we really want to create an environment for technical aspect, for builder-focused event where those who are interested, not only developers, but UX designers, front-end developers, backend, etc.
Now, outside of the fact that Accra is also another home for you, what about the ETH community here led you to believe that this event was both a need but also possible?
Actually, the need came after we had several meetups with smaller, like with, together with DeFi Africa, we had several meetups, we had several conversations, and also people reaching out to us that, hey, they're interested to know more about how this protocol works, why not having a hackathon. So the idea also came from the sentiment that we received from the workshop last conference we did last year, that people are interested to have more builder-focused event. Since several ETH hackathons happening globally, but people are not able to travel. And we also realized that online hackathons, I think, don't have the same platform to foster a strong community. Whereas when people come together at one venue, you sit together, you are able to share ideas. I think that's a great playing field for nourishing and nurturing a strong community. And as part of it, we also attended several universities in Ghana where we went to talk about what is, like we had an Ethereum developer focus event one day at several universities across Ghana. And that's where also we realized the sentiment that people are interested to have a hackathon where they can apply their skill set, like during a short amount of time.
Now, is there still space for other developers to sign up for the hackathon, or is it a bit too late for that? Also, are there specific themes that you're looking for with, you know, the coding that people are going to focus on? Is there something in particular? Is there maybe an industry that you're maybe looking to hone in on in terms of having the developers focus on as their work pertains to perhaps finding a solution to it? Or are you open to anybody putting together anything as long as it's based in, you know, the Ethereum community and solves for the issues of African people? Is there anything on that?
That's a very great question. Application is still open. People can sign up until September 3rd. Really highly encourage to come. It's not about that you need to have the best technical skill set, or you can even attend. There's room if you want to attend without having technical skill set. As said, it's a way to showcase, to come with ideas, conceptualize, learn together with other people, and come up with solutions that you think might be good to work, like flesh it out later. And we have different tracks. If people are interested, they can build anything on DAO, for example. You can build something on like NFT tracks, gaming, then we have DeFi. We also have an open track where people can come up with their own ideas. We leave it up to those who participants in which direction they want to dive in. We give an open track solution, but also tracks that like on this gaming, NFT, DeFi, and also the protocols who are sponsoring, for example, the Graph is an official sponsor. They also have bounties that you can build on their protocol. Just to name it, the Graph is basically a protocol that Google for blockchain, where they carry blockchain data from different blockchains, make it accessible for you to extract more information of like token price of an XYZ token like 2 years ago. And they're always looking for new talent and new features that you can build on top of them on how to use their protocol in a different way. So again, come as a developer, non-developer, designer, researcher, accountant, etc. Roles, you can define the roles that you want to have at the hackathon. We give you the platform, and there's room for pretty much everybody to participate and also shape the future of the Ethereum development in West Africa.
Now, as a developer yourself, I'm very interested to know, how do you navigate the regulation scene with all the work that you do, especially because everything changes so quickly? Do you feel that you have to keep it all here in front of you at all times to kind of figure out, okay, this is allowed, this isn't allowed. Okay, this was allowed yesterday, but it's not allowed anymore today. So now I have to adjust such that I don't create things that are either against the regulation or maybe could put me at risk of going against whatever regulation is in place. Also, depending, especially because you travel so much, depending on, you know, whatever area you're in, wherever region you're perhaps putting together any of your work in, does regulation play a role at all in influencing some of the things that you put together and the solutions that you're looking to solve? Or is that just kind of an article that you maybe think is the onus of somebody else and not so much of the developer?
Very interesting question, to be honest. I'm not really, I have to admit, not really up to date with the latest regulation. It's also something that I just don't have really the time to deep dive into this aspect. But whenever I need, then I just know where to go, know who to consult. Like, hey, this is what my team and I, we plan to do. How is it in line with the regulation? Is there any risk that we need to keep in mind? It's not something that, to answer your question, it's not something that's upfront on my desk every day, but I know where to go and to whom I need to consult if I need any regulatory advices. And you're right, it changes very quickly, it's evolving rapidly, but so is the whole ecosystem. It just changes. I think the learning curve in Web3 is super steep. Steep, never ends. It's always a work in progress.
Now, I get asked this question a few times and I try to avoid it, but a part of me is very curious to know, how often is it that you're able to come across other women as well, especially as a developer, who are most likely Black women as well, but just in general, just women in general from anywhere that are working within the ETH community, but also as developers? Is there a lot of that, or is that something that just kind of, you kind of notice it, but it's not important because there's so many of them, or are there so few that you have to notice that, okay, there is like 5 women here and there's 20,000 people?
Very, very interesting and good question. Unfortunately, I do not come across many women in general, even a few devs, which I think is very sad, but that's one of my missions why I'm doing this. I think I want to give a voice. Also, me being more, make myself visible, I really hope it encourages other people to see that, hey, there's actually a space for them. However they want to carve the space and create a space for them, it's up to them. But I just want to set an example, there's space. Yes, I think it's a task, it's a progress, it's work that requires a lot of effort, a lot of dedication, but we are there. I see progress compared to 2 years ago when I started. I see gradually more and more coming. But yeah, it's not something that I alone can do this. That's why I think you as well, I love having a podcast with you, a woman, Black woman as well. And then more and more come together, and more and more like uplifting others and also paving the way, then I think people will follow gradually. It's baby steps, but we are moving.
Now, I know that a lot of people have perhaps been seeing a lot of what's been going on this year, and the focus has mainly been on L2s. So I'm curious, the work that you do, but also the work that you are kind of, you know, coming across or are involved in any which way, is the focus mainly on the mainnet, or are people getting more and more interested and more curious about deploying on L2s?
I think L2s have alluded or have started a new era of developers, because I'm not like, I don't really have any numbers or figures just on the top of my head, but it just it creates a level of competition which is healthy and which is needed. So you have as a developer or even as an end user, you have choice. And I think once you have a choice, a variety, it also pushes other blockchain layers to improve their protocol, improve their services, and that leads to better ecosystem. And competition to some aspect is needed and also necessary. I think overall it leads to better outcome for everybody, because then you can choose where you want to deploy, where you want to mint, or where you want to use your services as an end user. And as a developer, what still needs to be addressed is like the level of documentation. I think it's really differs from blockchain to blockchain, and I think it's something that L1, I think the documentation Ethereum is, by to my own knowledge, the best. But on all other like L2s, the documentation needs to be improved, needs to be updated. But it's something that I think it will follow later on. And my opinion, L2, especially from the African continent, also on, I think in Southeast Asia as well as in Latin America, it's good that we have solutions for lower transaction fees, because that really makes the whole blockchain ecosystem more inclusive. And I think we really address a problem that was not addressed before, because transaction fees, it cannot be that it's contradictory to say that everybody is welcome and financial inclusivity, but people are excluded because of the high transaction fee. I think that's a little bit contradictory to the ethos of the blockchain and the Ethereum ecosystem, which was intended in the first place.
That is 100% facts. You know, there's only so much opening up you can do to people, especially when there are people out there who still need so much access. So according to beingcrypto.com, and this is from March, the Token Terminal Weekly Fundamentals report from March the 30th reports that the top 25 projects in terms of active developers are dominated by layer one blockchains. Unsurprisingly, Ethereum is obviously at the top, with 186 active daily developers over that past month. Polkadot and Kusama were in second with 171 daily developers. Now, keep in mind, this was, of course, in March, because since then, Ethereum active developer count has then since declined by 5% over the month of March, and Polkadot ecosystem increased by 5.6%. Now, we cannot say for sure how Polygon as a whole, Optimism and Arbitrum have been doing. They have been said to be continuously growing as well. So I think for future reference, that is definitely something to keep an eye on. Hopefully we can find some numbers that we can maybe link in the show notes for anybody who is curious. But I always find it very fascinating, you know, because there's still so much growth for us to do. But I think the Ethereum community as a whole also has a lot of understanding that they need to kind of go through to understand that not everybody is. There's a saying that a friend of mine likes to say in Sesotho, and it literally says, it's a funny jokey thing, but it literally says, it says malapa halegane, and it means not all families are equal, which means we don't all have the same capabilities. You know, we can't all afford gas fee for like $2, $5 every single time, especially when you're doing so much work. Sometimes something, a small change such as making a transaction fee to be, say, 30 cents in dollars, that makes a big difference, especially when you keep in mind all our volatile currencies. It's a rabbit hole that, you know, I think a lot of people are still yet to go down for them to fully understand how much it takes for somebody to become a developer from Africa, for sure. Now, are you at all concerned about the amount of people you'll be able to get at Ethercra, or is it more a quantity, sorry, is it more a quality over quantity kind of situation for you and the team?
I think our focus is more on the quality than quantity. It's not about, it's the first hackathon. People in general, I think, and any ecosystem are more like reserved and more like, you know, slowly tapping into it. That's why I want people to encourage to come, but it's not that we only focus on numbers that, hey, we want to have X, Y, Z people attending. We want people who are actually coming, but we want people who are engaged, who participate, who are building something. So whoever feels like, hey, feels addressed to it, hey, then highly welcome. But we purposely do not like want to focus only on reaching a certain amount of numbers. In Ghana, of course, by all means, it's smaller than Nigeria. So the numbers that we're going to have, it will definitely be smaller than if you host an event in Nairobi or in Lagos or in Cape Town.
100%. But I do think you may be surprised. You know, I've noticed that there is a plethora of people who are willing to fly to these events. So I myself am considering it. You know what I mean? Because, again, these events don't happen a lot across the continent, first of all. But second, they don't happen a lot in the southern region of Africa. So it's always really, really exciting to be able to fly to these events if one is able to do so. So if I'm able to do so, I'm definitely going to try to swing it. But if not, then, you know, I'll keep tabs on everybody else who's there, because I think events like this are important to in the morale as well of the community within the African ecosystem as well. So I can just, final question. I can imagine that putting together an event of this caliber, you mentioned off air that it's a bit stressful, in both a good way and a bad way sometimes, but putting together an event of this caliber probably needs a significant amount of capital injection, or at the very least, a long list of committed sponsors or people to help bring it to life. Has it been a breeze for you to find, you know, that team of people that you're looking for, the right kinds of sponsors, the right partners, the right just people to just give you the go-ahead? Or are you finding you're having to educate people on what it is you're trying to do every single time to say, no, you don't understand. This is important. It needs to happen.
Thank you for raising this question. It is a challenge. I have to admit, doing a hackathon in the bear market, I think the condition could have been different. So that's, I mean, we don't take this as an excuse. I mean, it's general challenging to organize a hackathon from this caliber, especially the first one, because you need to convince people, you need to, you know, have good partnership relationship with them. Yes, also tell them like the good story that, hey, you're planting a seed for the future. And it's about, yes, a long-term relationship, because the hackathon is one aspect of it, but we have planned so many like other community engagement, and next year's edition is definitely going to happen. And it's like, yeah, bring them on board, tell them, like, convince them that it's here for the long run. It's definitely challenging. Also, having the right people, the right mindset, like who have the hunger and grit and passion to pull this, it's running a marathon and not like a sprint, like 100 meter. It's more like 20K, 42K. And as you all know, teamwork is always challenging because the motivation declines, and it's like sponsoring. If it doesn't come, we've been rejected by sponsors. But however, it's like persistence is key. We need to keep going, keep pushing. And we found an amount of sponsors who are willing to support us, who believe in us. Others are still in talks. It has definitely, to answer your question, it has not been a breeze. But I think because of the work that we have done previously, the conferences that we did last together with IFA Africa in November, also like making ourselves visible in the ecosystem. Myself attending a lot of hackathons as well, as people know me under Abena.e. So it's like visibility has increased and has helped to nourish, create good relationship with the people. And also that leads to better leads in securing sponsorship. And also people also give referrals now. That really helps. So it's like hand in hand. However, I'm proud of what we have achieved so far. We still have 1 month to go, and I'm definitely, the last one is the most intensive one. We have this podcast that we have having now, Gitcoin grant that is in the pipeline. So we have our doors open, and whoever listens to this, whoever, if you know someone that, hey, wants to support us in any way, it's highly welcome. And yeah, we are confident it's going to be great success.
I am rooting for you, and I'm rooting for every single developer and every person who's a part of your team, because things like this are phenomenal. I think maybe we downplay the importance of IRL events because we're also used to just kind of, you know, putting on this brave face and having this avatar on Discord or Telegram or whatever and just, you know, talking a big game. But it's completely different. You get to be in person and you get to see all these people because it's like, this is real. We are really doing this. We're literally in the frontier and we're getting to see it all happen as if, you know, we're making it up as we go. And that's really, really exciting. So if any of you listening or watching are developers in and around Accra, make sure to sign up for the hackathon before the cutoff date. And if you aren't a developer, there's still a place for you as well at the very first ETH Accra. All right. Now, in closing, I like to ask the guests to give us 3 words to describe how they feel about the space. But for you, I'm going to switch it up a little. Now, in 3 words, what are you looking forward to the most within the events arena of the African ETH community? Are there specific elements that you hope to see, or are there specific events maybe that you're mainly looking forward to outside of ETH Accra, of course? Is there anything in particular that stands out? 3 words or maybe 3 phrases that essentially summarize your feeling about the overall African community as it pertains to the different events.
I'm mostly excited to look for collaboration and cooperation, because what I've experienced is we have many different people. Everybody is cooking like their own things in their own little corner silos, but there's less synergies and overlaps. And I think that's really what we're missing out. And if you're able to reach out to collaborate, cooperate, and also join forces, then we can create something like impactful and very meaningful and sustainable for the long run. And Ethercry is just one aspect of it, but I'm also very excited to collaborate with Web3 Bridges, Web3 Africa, people that I met in Lagos like last week ago when I was there for the ETH Global Meetup. It's about synergies and creating a platform where everybody is contributing and we can make the pie bigger. It's not about me or Ethercry having the biggest chunk of it and claim it. It's about we all contribute and make it bigger and make it more like nourishing our own garden, own corner of the garden. As the Ethereum Foundation is the infinite garden. I love this metaphor so much. It's about like the garden in Ghana, the garden in Nigeria, the garden in South Africa. We all can create our own garden with our own ingredients and nourish it that reflects our needs, but we can also have an overlap and have synergy. That's really what I'm most excited about. And I think we are in the era of youth, people willing, hungry, have high potential. And I think it's our time to shine, to participate and co-create. It's not about consuming. It's about giving back. And it's also about nourishing. As a garden does not grow alone. It needs to be watered. It needs to be nourished. And it's about us to co-create a space that reflects us in the best way. And I think it can change over time. What is prevalent and important today might change in six years. And I think it's important to have an evolving ecosystem. That requires growth, open mindset, dedication, and definitely not here just for the like quick win. It's about persistency and it's about having grit and building something for the long run. That's what I'm most excited about.
I'm not even sure that you noticed, but all your words start with C. So it's collaboration, contribution, and consistency. And I think those are banger words. Usually, you know, every single time when I hear words, it's like it's my first time hearing them. And I really, really love how you explain the concept of the infinite garden, you know, because it's infinite in that it doesn't end, but it's also infinite in that it goes beyond time, space, and geography, you know? So it doesn't matter where you are, as long as you're contributing to the garden, you are integral to the garden's existence itself. So I absolutely love that, and I think that is the perfect note to end this wonderful episode on. Thank you so, so much for sharing, Abena, and thank you for helping put together Ethercry. Now, once again, to everybody who is a part of the Ethercry organization team, kudos to you all. I really, really hope that you're able to achieve everything that you've set out to achieve, because at this point, you know what, the world is your oyster, you know, the universe, the galaxy, all the blockchains are your oyster, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Now, of course, as is traditional here, none of what we share here has been financial advice. Please always do your own research, especially when the space tends to shift so, so rapidly. As I alluded to earlier, we will, of course, include all the links in the show notes so that you can, as always, do your own research. Now, as we all know, nothing is ever set in stone. You know, there is a world out there yet to be discovered. And this time, Africa is at the core of that table. So thank you so much, everyone. See you next time.